There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. I'd love to have you along. And coming up this hour, we'll talk a bit about what's next for Hank Aaron Stadium. You know, there's been some suitors out there, but there's also a timeline and a definition of what lives up to having baseball going on in Hank Aaron Stadium and keeps the process going. We'll get into that in just a little bit. I want you all to say hello to my buddy Joe Brown. You talked to him, well, we're talking on Friday when we were at your CBD store of West Mobile. But Joe, you had mentioned to me you had something real special kicking off this week, and I want to talk about this because I love this. I love your local company, local store, and then giving back to local charities. So tell folks what's going on.
Sean, thanks for having me on. When I opened this store, I sort of launched this idea in my head, and then it came to fruition. It's the 12 Days of Christmas charity event. So beginning today, going through the 21st, I'll be giving away 10% of my sales every day to a different charity. Today is Penelope House. All the charities are known names. You'd recognize them all. And a lot of them I donate personally to. So it was just another idea to have my store, you know, give back.
Well, it's a fun thing, too. People who want to come out and check out the store and buy some stuff, they can pick a day this week that's good for the charity that they're most fond of.
That's right. And now, on my Facebook page at Your CBD Store of West Mobile, I have the list. I mean, so if you want to search it out. But organizations run from Penelope House to United Way of Southwest Alabama, Waterfront Rescue Mission, Mobile Theater Guild, the Jake TV Foundation, Boys and Girls Clubs, Mobile Arts Council, CCA, Mobile Baykeeper, Mobile Botanical Gardens, and Joe Jefferson Playhouse, and Church Street Graveyard Society. I just rattled them off. But I know
job.
You recognize a lot of them. There are a lot of organizations you support, Sean.
Absolutely. So, I mean, like today, we come in today, for example, with Penelope House today featured, and we buy 10% going to Penelope House today.
Correct.
Fantastic. And this goes on all week long. So if they've been meaning to get back and see you and purchase some product, or maybe they've never even been out to the store, they hadn't been there the first time, this is a great way to do it and give back while they're doing it.
That's right. And we have a history of giving back. I mean, I've sponsored a lot of theater groups, you know, their plays and advertising. It's just it's something I like to do.
Yeah, well, I know you do, and doing, you know, local business, helping out local charities is my kind of thing as well. Oh, speaking of theater, you mentioned, when's your show coming up? Tell folks about the show.
So, Mobile Theater Guild is producing the third installment of Society Shell. It's called So Long Slice. It's written by Thomas Perez and directed by Daniel Manwaring, and it's the last three weekends in January, beginning January 17th. It's on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday matinee. Then the next week, the 24th, and then the 31st. So each weekend will have three different shows. And it's I call it a dark comedy, but it's a very sarcastic, much like myself, play. And it's first time I've ever dove into acting.
And this is a kind of a big way to do it. I mean, head first.
That's right.
Okay.
Like I don't have enough to do, but it's.
That's what I was about to say. So you've taken on another thing. So if people want to see you in the play, the character Shank.
Correct. There's Shank Duff slice and whiff. It's a bunch of retired people hanging out behind Society Shell, and just need to check it out.
All right.
Just like you know, come on into our store. I can tell you about the Penelope House has a big display of merchandise, and each organization will have some literature on it. And then you can learn about them, and you can also learn about CBD, because that's one of the things that your CBD store in West Mobile likes to do, is to educate and empower so you understand what's going on.
And by the way, tip of the hat to you, too, that the interior, I don't know if that was on your watch or if you had some help, but the layout of the store, it's a nice place to come into.
Thank you, Sean.
Was that you? Was that your doing?
Yep, that was me.
Dang, man.
I have a history of design. I have a lot, you know. This is also my second store that I've had in Mobile. I used to have Glazed Bayou a long time ago.
Well, you've got it looking fantastic in there, and I like how you describe it. People can Google your CBD store, West Mobile, and get the address, but you speak my kind of language. So we're on Hillcrest heading south towards Greelot, and then what? How do we find you?
It's right before Greelot, right across from Waffle House, home of the best patty mill.
See, that's how you describe it. Good deal. Well, I will run people over to the Facebook page, or I'll send you the link as well on our Facebook page. Y'all check it out and go see my buddy Joe this week at your CBD store of West Mobile. Take part in his charitable efforts, and we'll come see you at the theater, Joe.
I appreciate it, Sean. They can also reach me on telephone 251-260-3223.
Great stuff, man. Joe Brown checking in, and John Sharp's going to join us here in just a second. What's next for the Hank? Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have to talk to John to find that out.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 119 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. One of my buddies and a man that competed quite strongly in the second half of the season in our FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, John Sharp from AL.com and the crowd goes wild. Hey.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Doing good. Doing good. And while we're talking sports, y'all got to check out this story. And you said it. Let me just say that you're right, and this is something you don't hear from, you know, people in electronic media that would ever admit something, you know, is more akin for print. But yes, this story, I linked it through on the Twitter feed. Y'all have got to look at John's story. I always want you to do this, but look at John's story as we talk about it over at AL.com. Take me out to the abandoned ballpark. What's next for languishing stadiums? Because this is some of the – there's so much going on here, John. I almost have to have a reference page to work back and forth from.
Yeah, the Mobile situation involving Hank Aaron Stadium is one that you really got to sit down and look at it as it's written out. It would be a tough one to sit around and describe around a campfire. I mean, people would be like, what? I mean, it is a tough one. There's a lot of moving parts. There's several different contracts going on. And, you know, you just got to kind of explain, I think, the most important thing right now for the public to understand is what's going on right now. What's going to happen tomorrow at the council meeting? And that's the important thing, because you can get lost in the weeds. Mm-hmm. Land use agreement here, what other ballparks are doing, the minor league system, what's going on there, and people just, you know, it would just get lost. I mean, in the whole where we're at right now in Mobile would just get lost. And where we're at right now is that the Mobile City Council's got a big vote tomorrow on what to do with the remaining 2 years of the stadium lease out at Hank Aaron Stadium. Right now, Ball Corps, the owners of the Mobile Bay Bears, which are going to turn into the Rocket City Trash Pandas for next year, are the current lease assignees for the lease. What Mobile's wanting to consider is whether or not that lease assignment should be transferred to a group called the Mobile Sports and Entertainment Group. And that's what's on the council agenda tomorrow, and that's what the Mobile City Council is going to be voting on.
So it's a yay or nay, not one versus another kind of question?
That's correct. It is and it requires a supermajority vote.
We're
fully aware of what that means. Five votes are needed. Basically, what it is it's not one versus another. It is a contract on the agenda for the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group to take over the lease of the stadium. Now, there is a competing proposal out there, but that is not on the agenda for tomorrow's meeting. That's not to say the city council can't have a substitute motion and grant the remaining of that lease assignment, or to grant the use of the stadium, or however they choose to word it, to a group that's operated by that's being operated by Tim Bennett, the co-owner of the Biloxi Shuckers. Their proposal is to bring in a professional baseball team, would not be minor league class affiliated, but it would be part of the Atlantic League, to bring them into the Hank Aaron Stadium for the next so many years. They claim it would be a 20-year deal. But as it stands right now, that's not on the agenda. What's on the agenda is for the city to entertain a 2-year agreement with the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group so that they can bring in, they're talking about bringing in high school baseball games, college-level games, also using the parking lot for the continued use of the light shows that we're all used to in this area, the Christmas Nights of Lights and Halloween Night of Lights events, various other events that they're talking about doing, concerts, for instance, maybe a cruisings and for car shows, that sort of thing.
Okay, you're tempting me into the weeds, though. You've done this. Okay, so as we talk about tomorrow and this vote for the Mobile City Council, and Danny Cordy, he quoted in the story, listen, they've been doing stuff here sports-wise for a long time in our area, bringing a lot of stuff to town, and they know the lay of the land. That's for sure around here. Is what they're – this is where you're going to get mad at me and throw something through the radio. Is what they're offering – does it live up to this thing in the contract that says, and maybe I need to have a printed out version, but to me, I remember it said something like, you have to have minor league baseball or its equivalency, right? I mean, isn't that close to paraphrasing what they said?
Correct.
So does this live up to that?
That's not the contract that we're talking about, the lease assignment with Ball Corps.
No, but it has to. But it all goes back to the beginning, right? If the city makes a deal, I'm familiar with that. The city makes a deal with getting Ball Corps out and getting, you know, Mobile Sports Authority in or some other group. That's all well and good. But am I silly still worrying about this thing I've been hearing about for a couple years now, that if there's not minor league baseball or its equivalency there, then the McGowan group, I may have the name wrong here, but they can take back the property, basically.
Yeah, the Little family are the owners of the property. According to Paul West, the chief of staff for Mobile, Sandy Stimson, his interpretation of the contract is class AA or equivalent higher of baseball, or a public entertainment proposal part of this of the project, and he believes that the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group can satisfy the terms of that land use agreement by having this public entertainment option of this particular of what they're wanting to do out the ballpark, whereas the Bennett Group out of Mississippi are just pitching it for baseball only. It would be an independent league baseball club, which is not class AA or higher. And as far as I know, I don't believe there's any public entertainment offerings within their proposal.
And it's just one of these things that, because we didn't talk about it much back then, I wasn't doing radio here back then, when the deal was signed, it's worrisome that we're in a situation where all the money that was spent on the facility, the brick and mortar and the iron beams and the gift shop and all, and of course having Hank Aaron's home there and all that stuff is on maybe lease ground. It's not the right, it seems it's on lease ground, right? We built all this stuff and it's the ground underneath that does not belong to the city.
That's correct, and that's kind of the complicated aspects of all this. Whereas, you know, I did a story over the weekend looking at what other cities have done with their abandoned ballparks. In many cases, the city owns the property. That's what we see up in Huntsville. They had a minor league stadium in which the Huntsville Stars left in 2014. They relocated down to Biloxi and became the Shuckers. And left behind was Joe Davis Stadium. And now the city's left with this property. They weren't sure exactly how this was going to materialize. Should they demolish it? Should they not? And that sort of thing. But it was, all on city-owned property. And then the difficulty here in Mobile is that's not the case. But there is a at least vocally, I mean, folks with the city will say that they want to keep Hank Aaron Stadium standing. So, the particular lease that we're talking about right now expires on March 31st of 2022. So, you know, what this decision is tomorrow is could go a long way as far as deciding, you know, what potentially could happen long term out at that ballpark with that facility.
Well, what about in short term? Let's say the council tables or votes no or to do something with that 2-year window, could it sit a year? Could the Hank sit a year without anything there and still come in under that 2-year? And then, do you know what I'm saying? Maybe we don't do something for baseball season 2020, but then by 2021 there's something going on. Is that
my understanding with the land use agreement is that it has to be 2 years. If there's no baseball there for 2 years.
So they got a year to sit. I mean, yeah. I don't want it to sit there. I mean, I want something to be there, but it could conceivably sit a year.
That's correct. But, you know, that's the risk you take, you know.
Yeah.
And talking to the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group, apparently they got Murphy High School ready to play baseball there in the spring. So, you know, there are uses ready and raring to go. I talked to Danny Cordy. He'd indicated that, you know, they've got some things in the works as well. So, you know, it isn't like that, you know, there's nothing planned for that particular facility this year. So that's kind of the risk that the city council faces if they decide to continue to punt this thing down the road, is that there are uses right now, but if you don't go with one particular group and you just let it sit there,
right?
I mean, will those groups be ready to come back? And then, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm with you.
You wait another year, and then you're
up against the wall. Sure, you are. I mean, either you get pressure in the negotiation on the back end, or here on the front end. So the city council tomorrow will be up or down, yes or no, supermajority on whether to enter into this contract, right?
Right. And the interesting thing is, I kind of polled the council members last week on this, and
how is that?
Right now, 4 council members say that they, at least vocally, told me that they support the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group's proposal. 3 council members are kind of on the fence, or leaning one, you know, not leaning in support of it. So we're right now at 4 votes, whereas you need 5, and it's almost the same exact split as what we saw with the annexation vote. So I don't think we'll have a repeat. I mean, I did ask Councilman Manzi if he was mm-hmm. prepared to be the swing vote again on this, and
swing.
He said I doubt it.
Okay, so if the council, I mean, did those that said they wouldn't vote for it or weren't sure, is it because they wanted to vote for another plan or they wanted to do nothing? Did they give you any more insight into that?
So one indication was in regards, Councilman Richardson is the only vocal critic of it. He said that, you know, he viewed it as there was original clause in the contract which kind of spelled out an escrow account potentially being set up and set aside for the potential of any demolition costs of the stadium, because the city would be responsible for the demolition, which are very expensive, by the way. It's about $1 million at least is what we're looking at. If that were to come to fruition. And he was concerned about that. There was original contract wording in the original proposal for Mobile Sports Entertainment Group that would include this escrow account. So Richardson was concerned about that. Well, apparently the city's gone back and they've renegotiated that with the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group. I think they're eliminating that particular clause. So will that satisfy Councilman Richardson? We'll find out on Tuesday. But he expressed verbally that he was really concerned about that last week. So, now, like I said, there was a lot of moving parts going on last week and a lot of talks between the city's legal staff and Mobile Sports Entertainment Group. So, you know, what we see tomorrow will, you know, determine whether or not questions were satisfied.
All right. We'll watch it. People go read through the story over at AL.com. I linked it up on the Twitter feed. Or if they want to find you on Twitter, John, how do they do it?
Yeah, I'm at JohnSharp99, and I'll be tweeting out some of the highlights from tomorrow's meeting as well.
You use the term highlight. Okay, that's the lights, which is pretty awesome.
The lights.
John, it's always been. I love talking.
How you view it, I guess.
That's right. John Sharp, always fun. Thank you. Right, coming right back, your phone calls and text at 343-0106.
This This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Can't really be a thing. I refuse to chain up and lock up Christmas decorations. 137 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile. That's another conversation going on around here. The Christmas decoration thieves. Where are they? Where are they taking those things to cash them in? Are they keeping them for themselves, or is there some kind of market for discount, five-finger discount Christmas decorate? Like, hey, man. Be cool, but I got a Santa back here. Oh, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. I do want to note this story from Mendocino, California. Okay, here's the headline. The headline is, Monster 75-foot wave recorded off West Coast during bomb cyclone. Monster 75-foot wave recorded off of West Coast during bomb cyclone. Here's how you know you're a child of the 80s and the 80s messed with your head. Because when I saw the story about that wave, what I heard in my head was...
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Exactly. Jeff Spicoli came to mind. I was ruined in the 80s, I guess. 75-foot wave. Here it is. Here's the story. Out of Mendocino, California, the bomb cyclone that pounded the West Coast last week brought with it some of the tallest waves ever recorded off of California. A monstrous 75-foot wave was recorded about 20 miles off the coast of Cape Mendocino in Northern California, according to the University of California, San Diego's Coastal Data Information Program. In the 15 years the program has operated a station in that location, the significant wave height, or the average height of the tallest third of the waves that occur every over 30 minutes, typically doesn't exceed 10 feet tall during the winter. The 75-footer was the tallest of the waves ever recorded in that period, which averaged about 43 feet tall. Still, they say it's definitely unusual for this time of year, according to the program manager, James Behrens, said these kind of really large waves are usually only detected way out in the middle of the ocean when the winds are being generated. The program's buoys had only measured taller waves at one other station located in remote North Pacific Ocean where extreme waves are expected to form on occasion. Come on, we've watched Deadliest Catch. We know what happens up there. It says, Troy Nicolini, meteorologist in charge at NOAA's National Weather Service, explained that the bomb cyclone brought a dynamic fetch. Of course, Mariners know that. An event when strong winds move in the same direction as the speed of the wave it's generating. He compared it to pushing a child on a swing as they move and maintaining the push instead of laying off when they're in the air. Okay. So, it's interesting. Just pointing out, I mean, I think this is of interest. A 75-foot wave should get your attention, whether you're Captain Sig Hansen or not, right? 75-foot wave. But they say it's like the biggest recorded. And if you don't read into a headline, because this fits in with this is the way you grab clicks, right? The biggest, the most, you won't believe the size of, you put any of those phrases in before you put up a headline. But this station has been there 15 years doing the surveys. Now, this is significant. In 15 years, this is the biggest one they've measured. But to say, like, people see that and go, oh, that's the biggest there's ever been. It must be that these bigger waves are everywhere now. It's not true. I mean, 75-foot wave is daunting. It's amazing. I would love to see it while on land. Like, way back. Like, at least 150 feet above sea level. And see that wave. But this headline's being clicked around like it's like now there's legions of 75-foot waves attacking people. No, it's not the thing. I just want to point it out. It's just okay. It's just like when we look at hurricane statistics, and Dr. Bill's talked to us about this before. They'll talk about it's busier than normal, more storms than normal, and you can look at some of this. You can look at busy seasons. Not some busy seasons, but they start comparing it with, well, this is over the last hundreds of years. Well, the forecasting has gotten so much better that we detect storms that most likely would have gone undetected before, right? Because of where they were in the world or distance away from reporting equipment. Doesn't mean we're not having a bad hurricane season. Doesn't mean surface temperatures weren't very warm in the Atlantic. It just means that, you know, when people say, well, this is the most, this is the record, they should just say this is the record since these records have been kept, or over this last 10-year period, or over this last 20-year period, just to be fair about things. Let's talk about what the scope of it is, but that doesn't get clicks on headlines and people move on through. Somebody asked me if I saw the... Yeah, this we talked about this morning, the porn stash thing. Okay, I'll run through this story here. CBS News reporting and our news partners KRG, WKRG have it up on their website. New details emerging in the wake of NAS Pensacola shooting. Says new details continue to emerge in the wake of Friday's shooting at Naval Base in Florida. Saudi gunman who killed three U.S. sailors is said to have posted anti-American tweets before the killings, and sources tell CBS News the shooter may have been involved in an ongoing dispute with one of the instructors at the base. That's what was offered this morning. All right. The shooter was Muhammad, I'm not saying his name. He reportedly posted anti-American tweets before the rampage. CBS learns that he may have had some issues with one of his instructors who he didn't like. Okay, this narrative coming in there, that he didn't like one of his instructors. Okay, why did he shoot all the other people? This is something, well, it's probably not terrorism. He just didn't like the teacher, right? Well... why'd they watch mass shooting videos a couple nights before? Why'd he shoot anybody other than the teacher in this? And yes, it was because he was given the nickname, they're saying in the story, of Porn Stash. And they point out to us later in the story, that means somebody with a mustache like a male porno star. Thank you for the disambiguation. So there you go. There's another narrative coming out that maybe he was just picked on, and this is why he shot all the people at NAS Pensacola.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, a programming note coming up in 1 second here. A couple of them. Number one will be at Mobile Bay Coins on Friday. That's always a... should be a harbinger for you that it's getting close and you're starting to get your Christmas shopping done in earnest. When Angelo and Ron Nancy, they had me out to Mobile Bay Coins, it's like, it's time. This is when even people who are like a little bit of a procrastinator start getting their Christmas shopping done. That'll happen on Friday, by the way, too. They're going to be giving away prizes during our live broadcast on Friday. A half-carat diamond stud earring set, 1 ounce silver engravable round, sterling silver earring and bracelet set, plus gift baskets from Tanner's Pecans and Nature's Nuances. All that's going on from noon to 2 on Friday at Mobile Bay Coins. It's a fun time. It's always fun to hang out there and get to talk shop with the crew at Mobile Bay Coins and find jewelry. Come see us on Friday. Oh, other program note here. Okay, so Dalton's out. Philip is doing a great job manning the control room in there right behind me at FM Talk 106.5. He's doing that. I told him years ago to stop relaying messages because that's not his job. His job is to get your phone call on the air or get you answered maybe to a question or something like that. But if you've got a comment on what we're doing, 343-0106. A lot of people today just want to drop a line and have Philip come in here and tell me. Not letting him do it. He is not allowed to tell me what you said. So you can either call 343-0106, or we were, I think, one of the earliest adopters, if not the earliest adopter, in the Mobile-Baldwin County area of this text line. Free text line, text at will, where we get your comments and pictures and all that kind of good stuff. Text us. 343-0106. Love to hear from you, but you're still welcome to text us. If you want to get in some nuanced discussion of fast times at Ridgemont High, as I see some do, that's fine. Text line is good for that. Twitter feed is good for that. But no more relaying. He hasn't been allowed to do it in years, so you're wasting your time. All right. Before we finish up here, I want to... We have time to get to it. I think. I'm sorry. I'm just clearing something in my own head about stories coming up on the show. This is you and I are just doing this together right now. We'll probably... Now I'm talking to some other people. Yes, we'll probably do the story. Did you see the story from Lanyap? Jason Johnson posted this one up. The Mohawk Choctaw Indians seeking federal recognition once again. This goes back to a conversation we had I think we had it when we were talking about the Porch Bandit Creek Indians the last time, talking about this compact, which, y'all, this is what's driving Session before they even get started in Montgomery. What this offer from the Porch Bandit Creek Indians for this deal for essentially monopoly on gambling in the state, although I will argue, can you have a monopoly if it's not legal for other people to do, you know? But this idea also brought up a discussion of the MOA, Choctaw Indians, here in Mobile and Washington County, right? Jason writes, the Mobile County Commission has officially endorsed the latest efforts of the MOA Band of Choctaw Indians to become a federally recognized Native American tribe, marking off one item from their long to-do list for its tribal leaders, who say federal recognition would bring more resource to the members. Named for its position between Mobile and Washington counties, the MOA Choctaw Reservation sits on 300 acres near McIntosh, Mount Vernon, and Citronelle. The tribe was recognized as a sovereign government by the state of Alabama in 1979, but despite several previous efforts, the tribe's members have not been able to gain federal recognition and reap the benefits that come with that designation. And you know what that is. That's gambling, right. According to the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs, recognized tribes are eligible for federal funding and services, but they also possess certain inherent rights to self-government through treaties with the U.S. That the type of tribal sovereignty is also one that allows the federally recognized Porch Band of Creek Indians in Atmore to bypass Alabama's prohibitive gambling laws and operate certain types of gaming operation on lands held in trust by the government. So, former U.S. Representative Joe Bonner introduced a bill back in 2012 that would have officially recognized the MOA tribe, but it died in committee and never made it to the House floor. Other efforts to gain recognitions through the BIA have also proved to be unsuccessful, dating as far back as 1988. However, Tribal Chief LeBaron Bird said that the MOA Tribal Council has recently been working with U.S. Representative Bradley Byrne and Senator Richard Shelby to get another congressional bill introduced. So we'll talk about this later in the week and see if we can get Jason on to delve into this story, because this has happened before. The state recognizes the MOA Band of Choctaw Indians, but the Bureau of Indian Affairs does not. A lot of things would change. A lot of things would change for that area, North Mobile County, South Washington County, if that land was recognized as sovereign by the federal government. So we'll keep our eyes on that. All right, to the phones, and Fireball is in Mobile. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, Sean, y'all doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Let me say that first off, and I got two comments to make.
All right.
Number one, after 9/11, why are we still training foreign nationals to fly airplanes?
So we can sell them airplanes? I mean, if you want to get down the nitty-gritty, so the government military complex can sell very expensive jets and other munitions to the Saudis?
And let them fly them into our government and buildings and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, it's you know, they're going to say the Saudis are our allies. I mean, you've heard me rant about this before, that I'm not crazy about that, but that's the policy. Democrats and Republicans have all respected the Saudi, and pragmatically, I can argue that it's probably a good idea for oil and a place to sell our munitions. But go ahead,
right.
Point two.
Right. Well, they, I mean, one wasn't because he shot up some of our men over there Friday. But anyway, my next point, very important point, Epstein did not kill himself.
There you go. Hot take from Fireball. You know what I'm going to do, Fireball? Because the contrarian nature in me has this Epstein, this has been a couple months here, which, by the way, I'd love to get somebody in here. We'll get it, maybe even when Dalton's back, we'll get an in-depth discussion, all the pieces of information. I said when that story came out, I said that the conspiracy theorist world and I finally have some common ground, right? I know I'm no fun when it comes to conspiracy theories. I'm the one that shuts it down, except for this one, y'all. And I'm on, y'all have got me on this one. And since the story first, since Epstein went room temperature, I've been on y'all's side here. I think I'm completely on your side on this one. So you can count me in the ranks of conspiracy theorists. But just because I can't stand everything being homogeneous here on this, I'm going to start flipping it around. I think Epstein did kill himself. That's when I'm going to start calling other radio shows and just saying Epstein did kill himself. Because now that everything has swung to Epstein didn't kill himself for the last 2 months, What do you think, Philip? I'd start this big push. Epstein did kill himself. That's good. Good. You agree. So that's what's coming out of it. I'm going to go on social media. My conspiracy now, now that everybody's aligned that Epstein didn't kill himself, I'm going to say he did. Anybody on board? Do I have any other supporters? Could I get a group here? Can we get a web page? Can we put together some thing? Well, what you don't understand is this for this reason here, because of the way the cell is shaped there in New York, there's no possible way for him to have been murdered. He had to have killed himself. You know, whatever, like, little piece of information. Whatever piece of information it is, we'll latch on to something. We'll say, this is proof that he did. So that's my new movement. You can join over on the text line at 343-0106 or the email. If you just want to be contrarian for sports' sake, I'm with you. So join on, and we're going to start saying that Epstein did kill himself. And then we'll start peppering media with that. Social media, electronic media, we'll just pepper with that. What do you think? It's good? All right. Feinbaum on the way next. Lord knows he has a lot to talk about here as they've lined up the teams for the very strange seeing these teams lined up for the college football playoff and not seeing Alabama in the mix. But I think we have some good matchups. The LSU-Oklahoma, talking about a ball game I'm going to be watching. That's one I'm going to be watching. That sounds like a great one. Speaking of sports, too, Dalton tonight, along with Corey LeBounty on Sports Night, we'll break down college football and now a pretty good dose of pro football in the mix on their discussion tonight. They start at 6 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5, so check them out. All right, tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock for Mobile Mornings. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com, facebook.com/fmtalk1065. Find me directly over on Twitter, at fmtalk1065, and occasionally we find pictures of things to put on our Instagram page. Just look for Instagram and search for FM Talk 1065. All right, good deal. Good. I'm starting to get... Steve says James Bond killed Epstein. Well, that's another, like, side... I like that one. Maybe we'll go with that. Epstein killed himself or James Bond killed him.